Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show as we reach the holiday weekend.
I can tell you right now, I can't get enough Brewers Outlet on Sunday.
Well, you just ducked in the nick of time, my friend.
I can tell you right now, I cannot get enough Brewers Outlet on Sunday. I can tell you that right now because I need the whole thing to be a blur.
Because guess what I was going to talk about? Track and field. Right, good guess. We had a state champ on the girls' side. Selins Grove's Courtney McCartney won the AAA shot put this morning at Shippensburg. Second consecutive time she's won the honor. She's a junior, winning throw 49 feet, 1/4 inches. She was the top seed going in and also had a fourth-place finish in the boys' javelin AA with Sam Dressler from Danville area throwing 176 and 3 inches, finishing fourth in the state.
Great news. My neighbor, Jim Hopi, and every once in a while you'll hear one of the football coaches, whether it was Joe, Bill O'Brien, now James Franklin, refer to Jim Hopi. And Jim is literally my next-door neighbor. And he's the one that's in charge of feeding the team. His favorite weekend of the year is this weekend. He goes to Shippensburg every weekend when the PIAA track and field championships are taking place. Loves it.
Just loves it.
So congratulations to them. That's great news.
You know, that is one particular event that I never really watched in high school, but now the more that I see it, there is something going on every spot around those stadiums during a track meet. I mean, if you can't find something to watch there's something wrong with you.
And today, unfortunately, was Carburation Day.
Another great finish for the Freedom 100 for the Indy Lights. Last year, a 4-wide finish. 6 inches is what Gabby Chavez lost last year by. 6 inches. This time, in a 2-wide finish, he wins by 2 feet. Great finish to that race.
Terrific. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. What a great selection. You know, Sean Carey brought me the sampler, which was tremendous. Microbrews, domestics, imports, pickle bar. I could go for some of those barrel pickles right now.
That's a good 500 fresh food snack.
Fresh. I'm going to watch baseball or something. I'll watch some of the race. I don't want to disappoint you.
Well, if you don't, I'm just going to spam text you all day.
Yeah, like you did today. Every time I turned around, got another text. I mean, how long did that stupid thing last? 30 minutes?
An hour.
You gave me a countdown, for goodness sakes.
I did give you a countdown of
6 minutes, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes. Like, oh, for
I wanted to make sure you were watching.
And I didn't see a second of it. All right.
Well, the good thing is I did. And I know for a fact.
No.
I know for we have IndyCar fans listening.
Let me give you a word that's very important about this.
Uh-huh.
I want this word ingrained in your mind. Uh-huh. Sunday, by the way, is the race.
Right. I'm well aware.
Which will be dramatic and exciting and so forth. Today was irrelevant.
Yes and no. Well, hear me out with this.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Let me ask you something. Who's going to win the race?
One of about five different guys right now that have a good shot, and there's even a couple of rookies that have. But let me explain.
No, that's not what I asked.
I have no idea.
Who is good?
I have no idea. I picked Marco.
Okay, you're picking Marco Andretti.
Right.
Okay, good. Okay, good. All right. So we'll make sure we got an answer out of you. You know, giving us eight names is not productive.
I think the young Russian has a shot. He's been running really well. Ran really well today, as a matter of fact. Tony Kanaan looked really good today.
Back to Carburation Day.
Yes.
You said yes and no.
Well, here's why I say yes and no. Yes, it is irrelevant, but this is really the first time that they've had a good look with 33 cars on the track at what the turbulence is going to be like on Sunday. And the real big yes part of this is the fact that James Hinchcliffe developed a vibration. They thought it was... Now, this is a guy who's on the front row. They thought it was the tire set. They went in, changed tires, came back out, and with 2 minutes to go in carb day, says, nope, that's not the vibration. I still have it. Now, how would you like to go into the Indy 500 with no more time to practice, no more time to run your vehicle on the track at all, knowing you have a vibration going into the race?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's why carb day was a little bit more interesting today for some teams than others, because I think this was an opportunity to see how well your car ran in traffic. And for James Hinchcliffe and Andretti Motorsports, they're going to have a busy couple of days and some long nights trying to figure out what's going on there.
Long nights.
Tony Kanaan looked really good.
Did he look really good on Carburation Day last year?
Not as good as he did today.
He won last year.
Mikhail Elation. Listen for that name on Sunday. He is one of, if not the best rookie in the field right now. Kurt Busch, not a great day, but average.
You know who was always mediocre in all these days?
Who?
Was Al Unser Sr.
Okay.
And he understood that if you can survive the first 400 miles, right, it's what you do then in the last 100 miles.
That's very good point.
Actually, the first 450 miles, okay, so it really doesn't matter. What you do on carburation day.
Well, here's the real bad part of carb day.
You just got to stay clean for 450 miles, and then you can race your brains out the last 50 miles, okay?
Here's the real bad part of carb day.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, bad theory?
No,
sorry, tested over time.
That.
Sorry.
Sage Karam hits the wall coming out of four. Yeah. Did not do major damage, but lost the last 20 minutes of carb day or so. And was not really running up to speed at that point. Only got 19 laps in.
Yeah, Mario Andretti, the one time he won, crashed the car, and they used the backup car to win. All right.
But Mario Andretti had a few more laps at Indy under his belt than Sage Karam does. I mean, here's a rookie that hasn't graduated high school yet. He missed his prom to run qualifying.
Well, maybe he ought to grow up and go to college.
Come on. That's cold. Really nice kid, though. Really nice kid.
It speaks highly of you.
I bet he does.
Yeah. I mean, you want to adopt him?
Yes, I would love to, but I think that Chip Ganassi's already done that.
Because you're looking for a meal ticket somewhere.
No, my kid wants him as his brother. He would be fine with that.
Yesterday we had an insurance scam. Now we got today some illegal adoption. It's like every time we turn around, it's like
something shady's going on with
Sundays. Okay, it's like that bad four-letter word, scam.
Well, last year they met in the garage, and they did not talk one bit about racing. They talked wrestling because Sage and my son wrestled about the same weight class last year. So they had long conversations about wrestling. Sage goes, "This is really cool. I don't get a chance to talk wrestling here very often."
NBA playoffs resume this weekend. Stanley Cup playoffs, baseball, a lot of sports.
NBA
Sunday
playoffs.
Is the. No offense, but they'll probably get double the rating that your beloved Rays will get.
NBA playoffs.
They'll probably get double the rating.
The No Basketball Association.
It's all at the LeBron James.
And listen, name one team or even one player that high school and college coaches say, "Hey, watch him. You could learn a lot from him." They don't want you to watch the NBA.
No, they don't, but they're still the best basketball athletes in the world playing.
But they don't want you to watch it because it's not good fundamental basketball.
Man. I mean, I'm a bigger... Well, I'll tell you right now, LeBron James plays fundamentally pretty well, especially on defense.
As a whole, can you in good conscience say that the NBA is fundamental basketball?
Depends. The upper echelon teams are, and the lower echelon teams have more individual play. I mean, San Antonio Spurs play a beautiful game of basketball. San Antonio Spurs play an absolutely beautiful game of basketball at both ends of the floor. The way they run their offense, the way they pass, how unselfish they are, how they play defense, how they rotate into their respective game. And Miami plays a great game of defense as well as to how they play and rotate into their spots defensively.
If you ask Patrick Chambers, do you want any of your kids watching the NBA? Would he say yes or no?
He doesn't want them watching NBA players because he knows, he understands that. You know, there's a lack of maturity in some areas. But again, I'm talking, you're talking about Tim Duncan, who's now, 38 years old now and has been in the league for 16, 17 years. He is, and by the way, he went the 4-year college route, Tim Duncan did, and got his degree. Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. I mean, they play a beautiful brand of basketball. I mean, I don't care if they're pros or college. And defensively, Miami does some things offensively that's not quite, you don't want them emulating, but defensively there are things Miami does you want them to emulate, especially the way LeBron James plays defense. LeBron James is one of the few guys I've seen that has the ability to probably guard any one of the other five guys on the floor.
Well, but I don't understand what you're saying. You're talking about one or two players, and you're talking two teams. My big problem is that the NBA...
I just said the upper echelon teams, right. Yes. The lower echelon, no.
I know that. And I'm acknowledging the fact that I agree with you. But my problem with the NBA is the fact that it's a lot of individual play.
Okay, now do I want an 18-year-old driving 230 miles an hour on a track?
Yeah, but it's not... I don't understand the comparison.
Well, what are his fundamentals? Seriously.
But I don't understand the comparison. I'm saying that the NBA, to me, is not entertaining to watch because it's all feed one player, with the exception of maybe of the two teams you were just talking about.
And Indiana, they haven't played well down the stretch, but they're an 8-man team. I mean, there's no real star. Paul George might be a star, but a real star on that team. Obviously, Oklahoma City's a 2-man team in terms of star power. Yeah. I mean, I went to a Detroit-Minnesota game because I was in Minneapolis for about 2 months.
Yeah, but so technically you were paid to be there.
Technically, yes. And it was not a great brand of basketball to watch. I mean, there's, certain things, but I mean, part of it is the immaturity of the league and how young some of the players are. That's a big part of it. You're talking about Sage Karam. I mean, you can brag all you want. He's still 18, 19 years old, going 230 miles an hour with men. Remarkable accomplishment, But is that a good thing? What's the difference?
I'll talk about it after the break.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so during the break, I asked Kevin what Sage Karam's number was, and he didn't know, so obviously he's no fan. All right, a Yankee fan seemed to know Derek Jeter's number, too. All right,
good for them.
Here we go. The real fans know.
This is the first time he's driven in the series.
You watch Carb Day, all the rest of us didn't. All right, today's show brought
he's
to
car
by
number
Brewers
22.
Out. Yeah, you just looked it up online.
No, I didn't. I had the timesheet in front of me, so that's what I used.
Oh, I got a six-year-old kid running around the track, and you think it's a good thing. All right. Okay, fine. Okay. So, I got to give the guy credit. He was 18 years old, 19 years old, driving 230 miles an hour.
He actually... We'll graduate here in a couple of days. Yep, he'll graduate here in a couple of weeks.
That's a tribute to his talent, but I'm also not sure that's a good thing. So,
Sam Schmidt last year told me, he said one of the toughest things was convincing his parents that if he wants to be a race car driver, he has to move to Indianapolis half the year, so he's with the team.
I understand it. I'm still not saying that, you know.
No, I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying as well. Because I agree with you in the theory of what you're saying. When is it too young to play at the professional level, for lack of a better way to put it?
Okay, let's put it to you this way, okay? Whatever he did before, but he says driver's license for 2 years. All right?
That's a very good point.
Okay, and I just, and I give him a lot of credit for having the natural skills, the ability, the reflexes, and things like that.
He's won at every level he's run in the series to this point.
But I'm just saying that I don't know.
Well, Sunday will be. Sunday will be a big test.
There are certain things where it's. There's certain times where it's a man's game. And I don't know. We'll see. He's certainly doing things that the gigantic percentage of 18-year-olds could never do. So, give him a lot of credit for that.
And he gets it. He knows that talent only gets him so far. He understands that he's just one part of the machine, and there's a lot of other guys that help him get to a different level. I'm not sure that everybody gets that in the NBA sometimes, because there's a lot of individual play I see in the NBA. That's what we were talking about before the break. That's where I think the
NBA,
difference is.
I've talked many times the NBA. My problem is it's an immature league. My solution for the NBA is quite simple, is that at the age of 18, if you wish to declare for the draft, declare for the draft. If you decide you want to go to college, you must make a minimum two-year commitment and be 20 years of age before you then have a chance to go back to the NBA draft.
No, that's not a bad idea. I like that idea.
All right. I think you would migrate toward a more mature league. It also may mean that you get into college, like college, realize you're on your way to a degree, and it'll give you a better read on where you are as a basketball player. If you're 18 years of age, you're Andrew Wiggins as an example. I can't picture Andrew Wiggins saying, I think I'll go to Kansas for 2 years, and the dudes, I think he would have gone right to the NBA draft last year. Hot commodity and so forth. The other part, too, is that I do not have great level of trust in the AAU system and don't like it. It's the system that they have to use and go by, but the AAU system promotes exactly what you're talking about. The AAU system promotes a lot of individual play over and over and a lack of team play, which brings with it a lack of maturity. That's why going to college and playing college basketball is, I think, invaluable to making you a better all-around player, because it does force you into a team situation as opposed to always being that individual. So that's why the AAU system has bothered me for a long time. We've had Dan Dockage on the show. He has been vocal against the AAU system, and I have completely agreed with him about that. And I think when you look at the AAU system and then you go to college basketball, you know, what was the running joke? Name the one person on the face of the earth that could keep Michael Jordan under 20 points a game. And you know what the answer was.
I don't remember, but I remember hearing it.
It was Dean Smith.
Okay. I remember hearing it. I just didn't remember what it was.
And Michael Jordan, of course, then goes to the NBA, and, of course, you know, Jordan becomes Jordan. Jordan was an excellent defensive player, an excellent passer, as well as being a great athletic talent. Jordan was actually a great all-around team basketball player. It is no surprise that when you look at the last three championships the Bulls had, the game-winning, the series-winning, championship-winning basket was scored in two of those three by someone else. I think it was John Paxson 1 year and Steve Kerr another year, off passes from Jordan.
Even the NBA fan, though, could name almost every player, at least go six deep on the Bulls roster and name those guys. I'm not sure there's any team you can do that with anymore. I don't think there's any team that has that kind of a team put together where you could name them all.
Most of the successful teams have three primary players. Okay, and so most fans can name the three primary players on the top teams. Okay, it then starts to get down a little bit. I mean, you're not going to be able to name Udonis Haslam. You're probably going to, you know, maybe with Miami you can talk about Ray Allen, because he's had such a long, distinguished career between Seattle and Boston before he got to Miami. I mean, Ray Allen's going to be in the Hall of Fame. A real basketball fan knows how good Mario Chalmers is. Yeah. A real basketball fan knows about Paul George, George Hill, Roy Hibbert, Stevenson, players like that. You know, the Spurs, Parker, Ginobili, Duncan, almost any fan could name that. Now you get down to Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, and Leonard is just a... That's how one went. First time I saw Kawhi Leonard in person, he was at San Diego State. I looked over at Dick. I go, well, there's an NBA guy. Okay. But what I would do is this. It is no coincidence, by the way. Let's talk about the NFL for a second. Okay. The Philadelphia Eagles, after a long talk Tony Dungy had with Chip Kelly, the Philadelphia Eagles are highly committed to having college graduates when they draft. They don't like taking underclassmen under Chip. That's why, for example, take Jordan Matthews versus Allen Robinson. The Eagles ended up taking Jordan Matthews and not Allen Robinson. I wouldn't doubt that part of that reason happened to be is because Jordan Matthews has graduated from Vanderbilt. Bo Allen, for example. Bo Allen is a perfect example. Seventh-round pick out of Wisconsin, has his college degree. And the Eagles, when they do, to their credit, when the Eagles do an interview process, and this is the under Chip, you know, how Chip does things. One of the things they talk about is who was your best teacher in college? They ask that question and why. Now, one of the things they discover with Bo Allen, for example, is that the Eagles, like everybody else, will take the playbook and upload it, and you can get it on your tablet, your face, your Surface, or your laptop. But Bo Allen, in the interview with him, said that he does it better on paper than he does on a Surface or a tablet or a laptop. Well, when they gave all the players their packets, you know, Bose included the program to put on a laptop, Surface, computer, whatever, but his also had paper and pencil in it and had the plays put down that way too. That's important. That's why in going to college, for example, getting out of the AAU individual realm, playing in a team concept, a team game, is really important. And that's why college basketball is really important. And that's why, for example, when you look at guys that have gone deeper into college, you know, you certainly have had great success stories of those who have come out of high school, from Kobe to Kevin Garnett to LeBron James and so forth. But there have also been the Tim Duncans of the world that came out, played 4 years of college, and guess what? He's got 4 championships, and he's going to the Hall of Fame too. In college now, you get into the team concept, team game, right? It is ingrained into you to be less selfish out there. Sometimes with some of these guys, they have to then tell them to be more selfish. Hey, come on, come on here. I mean, you're being too unselfish now. You've got to start at least taking some shots yourself. They now make sure that all these guys have iPads, so you know they can take care of some of their basketball world in that kind of learning realm. And the more educated you are, the more it's going to help them down the road. How do you handle money and so forth? But it's interesting. The Philadelphia Eagles are really committed to going with college graduates. The two Super Bowl teams this year, Denver and Seattle, have more college graduates on them than any other team in the league. Is that a coincidence? One of the reasons Tony Dungy told them about being a college graduate, that he told Chip Kelly was so important, is that in order to be an elite athlete and to do that at the same time shows drive and commitment. I think it's an interesting trend to watch the next 5 years. You all right?
Yeah. I'm just listening intently to what you're saying. I'm, you know, since we're actually talking about basketball anyway, I wonder what has changed Mr. Sterling's mind and now is allowing, and where he's allowing his wife to go ahead and sell the team.
Oh, I'm sure at some point someone sat down and said, "Look, you can do this, but you know what?"
Writing on the wall type of thing.
Well, essentially, they put you out of the game. All right, you're not even allowed to go to you can't even go to the practice facility. You can't even go to a game. You'll own the team, but you'll be paying salaries. But what kind of franchise are you going to have? Is any free agent going to willingly want to go there when Blake Griffin's contract runs out and you're still the owner? Do you think he's going to stay when Chris Paul's contract runs out, or DeAndre Jordan? I said, when their contracts run out, or J.J. Redick, do you think they're going to want to stay? I mean, you'd be owning a team in name only. He bought the team for $13 million. Forbes says the current value of the team is $575 million. Rumors are that they're going to get, okay, a 10-figure deal out of this, that it'll be a minimum of $1 billion, and actually could be closer to $2 billion than $1 billion if he sells the team. What would you do?
Well, listen, it's definitely lucrative.
He bought the team for 12 to 13. That was 33 years ago. I think there has to be an understanding at some point that, yeah, you can prolong this and you can drag it through court and so forth, but in the end, it's not good for the league and it's not going to be good for you either. Right? And long-term, looking at it long-term, the established players that you have now that have made you a final eight franchise, when their contracts are running out, they are not going to stay with you if you're still the owner, and you'll be able to attract no one that will want to play for you. So you'll be owning a shell. Do you want to own a shell? And he's in his 80s. He obviously doesn't want to sell. He wants to, you know, I think he obviously wanted to own the team until he died. But at some point, common sense has to kick in, and obviously, someone who is a good advisor has explained to him, okay, look, this is where you are. If you go down this road, this is where you will be. If you win, will you actually win? Oh, yeah, I still have the franchise, but I have nobody that wants to play for me. I have no vote in league rules. I'm a hostage to that. So whatever league rule they pass, I have no say in it. Can't give my opinion on it. I can't go to a game. Unless I buy tickets, I can't go to a game. I'm not allowed to go to the practice facility. I can't even go into the office. Okay? What kind of life is that? If I owned a team, I'd be around that thing every day. I'd be around it every day. I'd be at every practice. I mean, when I mean every practice, I mean at every practice because I own the team, not because I would give any input. I have a general manager, a player personnel director, a coach. Okay, and coaches and players. All right, I hire them to do that, and I would give them the freedom to be as creative as they needed to be. Okay, you know, if I had $1.9 billion like he does allegedly, okay, you know, I would just want to be around it because I own the team. I'd be at every game, the whole deal. To take it away, and now I'm sitting there and I get to watch it at my house, my condo, whatever it happens to be, and that's the only way I can watch the team play. What good is that? That strips away to me everything that's good about being an owner. At least for me. I'm just talking about personal point of view. Now here's one for you. And I wanted to see at 800-795-9565. If you were the owner of the if today you, yes, good fan out there in Milton, Sealands Grove, Shamokin, Danville, what's left of it, own the Washington Redskins. Today I gave you the Washington Redskins. Okay? You have unlimited money. You just bought the Washington Redskins. Would you change their name? Now, I'm not asking you whether Dan Snyder should change it or whatever. I'm asking you, if today you, football fan, sports fan, I handed you as a gift the Washington Redskins. Okay? Using your own personal standards, would you change the name of the team? Get some of your answers on that in a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. So my question to you is, I'm interested to find out answers here. If I handed you the Washington Redskins today, you're the owner, you can make all the decisions. Would you change the name of the team? Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dave. How are you? Very quickly, we're at the top of the hour.
Well, in a word, no. And also, I want Donald Trump to take Buffalo, keeping it Buffalo.
Well, there's been a lot of talk now. Evidently, the controlling interest of the Bills at the moment is saying they want somebody that will keep the team in Buffalo.
And as far as the other names today,
yeah.
The Redskins is the Redskins. Leave it at that.
All right. Let's go to Roger in Selinsgrove. Grove. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Steve. I would not change the name of the Redskins. And I wouldn't say be without thought. I don't rush to judgment on that. But you know, a couple things to consider, and what you know Dan Snyder has to consider is the Redskins are the third most valuable franchise in the NFL. And not only the Cowboys and the Patriots. So there are a lot of people who are not offended in quite the contrary, embrace the Redskins and what they stand for. And they're the third most valuable franchise because of what people pay for merchandise and what people pay to market themselves at FedEx Field and to attach themselves to the team. And I know that a friend of Dan Snyder's trademarked the name Braveheart, and the thought was that was going to be the fallback name. But I don't know if how terribly less offensive that would be if the Redskins were to return to being the Braves, which I think they were originally. I believe they were the Boston Braves.